Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a movie star who hates her core audience. It doesn't sound very thrilling, does it? Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle. And Brie Larson is starring in the latest Marvel blockbuster, Captain Marvel, due out this Friday, so March 8th. And I have a tradition in my family. Melissa and I take the boys, and we see all the new Marvel movies, usually the week they come out, because for 20 movies, you know, they haven't all been great, but it's reliable, it's fun, and even if you don't really remember the bad ones so much, that's fine too, because the good ones tend to stick in our memories. What's sticking in my memory about Captain Marvel, though, is how much I don't want to see it, because the star, Brie Larson, apparently doesn't want me there, or white guys, or guys. And, you know, we're the ones who buy most of the comic books. So, gentlemen, if you haven't been following the news on this, as Brie Larson's been going on her various press tours to promote the movie, she has been coming out against men. And there's a headline just from last month. Brie Larson doubles down. So, you know, she'd said some anti-male stuff on tour before, but she doubles down, wants fewer white men on Captain Marvel press tour. And then, this is just, I think from this weekend at the Women's Film Forum or something like that, she said, and this is a quote about movie critics, "I don't need a white dude to tell me what didn't work. It wasn't made for him." Well, that would be me too, and I'm not even a critic. "I want to know what it meant for women of color," which I suppose it's fine, but it doesn't exactly make me think that she wants me to pay my $12 to go see the movie. And Bill, when I was searching for headlines about Larson, this one really stuck. It said, "Larson is working with the University of Southern California's Annenberg Inclusion Initiative." You think she's doing inclusion right?
Well, I do, by their standards. As it turns out, this is a subject I've been speaking about an awful lot. And I'll just keep this as succinct as possible. Uh-oh. I maintain that the left has driven millennials, young men mostly, but all millennials, out of the world that they've made intolerable for them and into the world of video games and into Star Wars and Marvel DC universes where they don't have to deal with this stuff. And they were young men said, okay, we know what's life out here. I'm a white male Christian heterosexual. Obviously, I'm responsible for everything. No, you're absolutely right. And then they run home and they play video games and they go to Marvel action adventure superhero movies, both of which allow them to do things, either buy guns and make money in video games or watch people with money buying guns on camera in movies. So when the left has decided to invade the refuge, they made life unbearable for millennial men out here. So when millennial men retreated into movie pop culture and into video games, the left had to follow them because as long as somebody's happy, then nobody's happy. And so that's what they did. So they went into Star Wars and they killed Star Wars. They killed it the only way they could kill it. They didn't just make a bad movie. They made a canon movie. It's part of the canon now. It's part of the Star Wars universe that undid everything that everybody liked about Star Wars in the first place. And they basically told these people, these Star Wars fans, this is Christianity for post-Christian America. This is religion for them. They said, no, it wasn't Luke Skywalker did all those heroic things. It was actually, it's like saying Jesus didn't cure these lepers. Mary Magdalene did it. And in fact, Judas actually prevented a civil war by turning this dangerous, agitator into lawful authorities. And so they don't go. So my point is, Scott, they did not go and see Solo, which was an actually pretty decent movie, because the fandom had agreed that we were going to boycott this movie because we hated Last Jedi so much. And they did the exact same thing in video games with Battlefield 5, where we find out that every other person jumping out of a C-47 over Normandy is a woman. And the trailer for the release trailer for Battlefield 5 is not just a woman protagonist. It's a woman protagonist with an artificial arm who uses her claw to beat a 6'3" SS officer to death with a bat. When the gaming community said, okay, look, this is a World War II shooter. Well, you just hate powerful women. No, we don't. There's lots of games like Fortnite and stuff where we have played with powerful women. So one gamer actually said, hey, is there a way we could have a checkbox? Give us the game, you know, with the women in it. And for those of us that would like a historically accurate game, is there a checkbox we could have where you just reskin these women characters as men and so on? And the game developer wrote back, would you like us to put that checkbox above or below the one that says white people only? Okay. So the release party for Battlefield 5 had a bunch of, on the wall, plastered on the wall, had a bunch of comments from gamers who were emailing to say, guys, this is a World War II game. You know, and hearing a female voice calling for ammo is just not happening. So what ended up happening, Scott, was that the company DICE and EA, I think it was, finally the studio came out and said, well, look, this politically correct game, this is the game we're going to deliver, so either buy it or don't. And they didn't. They didn't buy it. It absolutely tanked, completely tanked. So they're going to find out that while they can take over colleges and media and so on, that they can do these things relatively low cost to them economically, they are finding out in the same way that the people who own the Star Wars franchise are finding out, and the Star Trek franchise, when the Star Trek Discovery came back, all of a sudden you've got a male commander named Captain Christopher Pike, and it looks and feels a lot more like Star Trek and so on. What they're finding is that no matter how left-leaning Hollywood is, no one's going to put $400 million into a movie designed to piss off your core audience and to show them how awkward, backward, stupid, and racist they are. So as these failures like Lady Ghostbusters and all the rest of it continue to run, eventually Hollywood will realize, get woke, go broke.
Yeah.
The ruination of Star Wars, that's taking part of my childhood away. I never really read Marvel comic books as a kid, so I don't have that connection to it. But man, Star Wars, that one hurt. Actually, Scott, before I get to you, there's one thing I want to throw out there. My wife and I, we are starved for female action movies. As a lot of our viewers know, I've got an insane movie collection. It's like 2,500, 2,600 movies now. And we have an entire category of movies. Unfortunately, it's a small category. My wife came up with this. The playlist is called B&B. That stands for Boots and Boobs. And it's always, you know, the hot chick who kicks ass with, you know, wearing impossible boots and showing an impossible amount of cleavage. And they're just silly, fun movies. Problem is, there aren't enough of them. And so my wife is thinking, when she's got her first set of novels finished, she's going to start writing the movies that she wants to watch. And I think that'd be great. So this has nothing to do with not wanting to see an action heroine rule the movie screen. I mean, we are thirsty. We are hungry for that kind of entertainment. So, Scott, you are probably the biggest moviegoer that I know personally. I mean, you and the missus go so often, it really makes me jealous. Is this turning you off, or do you think you're going to be plunking down your money for this one? Or do you wait for Netflix?
Well, I'll be plunking down my money for this one, because the only reason I go to the movies is to sit next to Stephanie. And so that's just
that.
How that works. And she will go to see it because, frankly, she doesn't really see all these trailers that we do. So, you know, she's not really looking for that. And when she does see trailers, she's not seeing it, as most Americans aren't, through a political filter. So it just washes over you and you see it and you go, oh, well, there's that new superhero woman movie that's coming out. You know, I understand that Brie Larson's pre-box office opening press tour is going so well that at the last minute, the studio has decided to recut the movie and rename her character Captain DC. And I think that's that's about the only thing that can spare the studio from the opprobrium that is sure to face them in these circumstances. You know, it's a mystery to me. Obviously, you think on the basic level of common sense, why tick off a big chunk of your audience, even if
that's
it's a
exactly
large,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, even if it's a large minority. Let's just say it was only 10% of the audience, although I wager it is far more than that. But let's just say it was just 10%. Why would you go out of your way to tick off 10% of the people who have $11 in their pocket that they are willing to hand you? And so I don't get that. But it's even stranger than that, because let's say you had an agenda, political agenda, and that you were trying to get across the idea that women are strong and capable and not enough of them are represented in movies, and that they should have more powerful roles, and that they should be shown in positions of mastery over men, that all of this would be good for society and good for women in particular. Yeah. If you had such an agenda, wouldn't you want the most opposed people to that agenda in the theater so that that hypnotic effect of the movies that Bill talks about could wash over them and actually change their minds? It seems counterintuitive to say that you'd want to go out of your way to make sure that those people never get that message, that those people never get to enjoy a situation where there's a female superhero that they might find endearing. Although, according to Bill, having seen the trailers, she's not all that endearing. It mystifies me how they would seem to not only want to hurt other people by ticking them off, but they would want to hurt their own financial prospects and their own political prospects. It's as if they think they can grow the coalition for change by shrinking it ever smaller and smaller until it gets to the point where nobody can stomach them anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, just let me add one thing, if you don't mind. When all of this damage that was being done to Star Wars came out, people in the Star Wars community were saying, why are they destroying this? I mean, this just doesn't make any financial sense. You know, this is the most popular franchise and the most lucrative franchise on planet Earth. And they're not just reducing the fan base. They're forcing fans to abandon Star Wars. Why are they doing it? And that's when you realize abandoning Star Wars is not a bug. It's a feature. It is an objective, because Star Wars is about a young individual on a heroic quest to save a woman and to defeat evil. And if you end up destroying Star Wars and make money, that's good. But if you can end up destroying Star Wars and lose money, that's good too, because it's the destruction of the individual that has to happen. Same thing with Star Trek. Same thing with Captain Marvel. Same thing with Battlefield 5. That's not a bug for them. That we're going to just lose our audience. We're going to destroy. No, that's not a bug. That's the feature. That's the intention. And when you understand that, this whole thing just gets really much, much easier. I swear to God, after watching that trailer, I would go and see a movie called. I would rather watch a movie called The Scarlet Pedophile than Captain Marvel. Honest to God.
Don't give Hollywood any ideas. that one might just
that's
happen.
That's in rewrites right now. That's right.
Yeah, I have a little paranoid conspiracy theory. Well, maybe just not all that paranoid, but the review embargo on Captain Marvel broke today, which is actually late for these kind of movies. They usually want the reviews percolating a couple of weeks before they come out. This time they're not breaking until the Tuesday right before the Friday release. And some of the reviews were praising the movie, but overall the reviews are mixed. I pulled up some headlines here. Captain Marvel never fully takes flight. Captain Marvel, a messy origin story. Captain Marvel review, a massively disappointing introduction to Carol Danvers. Captain Marvel gets an average introduction. Captain Marvel, an aimless superhero slog. And this, you know, for Marvel, which even the bad movies are kind of light and fun and fluffy, you know, popcorn entertainment. So I have a theory that Marvel knew they have a stinker on their hands, and they sent Brie Larson out to alienate the audience before the movie comes out, so that when it flops, they can say, the movie didn't suck, men suck. So we'll see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks, but that attitude would certainly fit the current Hollywood zeitgeist. And that's Right Angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. If you like what you see, we would love to have you as one of our members. Please click on over, sign up, become one of our producers. Anyway, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.